Good afternoon. This is Jamie Pendergraft. We are going to go ahead and get started. I would like to welcome you all to today's webinar and introduce Derek Shields, our moderator.
Thank you, Jamie. Good afternoon and welcome to today's Ticket to Work webinar, Working While Receiving Disability Benefits, What You Need to Know. My name is Derek Shields, as Jamie just said. I'm a member of the Ticket to Work Program Manager, and I will serve as your moderator today. We're so pleased to have you with us to learn about Social Security's Ticket to Work program and answer some frequently asked questions about what you need to know about working while receiving disability benefits. The topics can help you as you start or expand your path to financial independence through work. Each of us does have our own journey, and we hope you'll get some information today that will help you on your path to employment. Let's get started by reviewing some of the functions of our webinar platform so you can interact and get the most out of your time today. Okay, so first you can manage your audio using the audio option at the top of your screen. The audio option is an icon that looks like a microphone or telephone. All attendees will be muted throughout today's webinar. Thus, when presented with options for joining the audio conference, please choose Listen Only in the bottom right. Choosing Listen Only allows you to have the sound to be broadcast through your computer speakers or headphones. So please make sure your speakers are turned on, or if you're using headphones, they are plugged in. If you do not have sound capabilities on your computer or simply prefer to listen by phone, please dial 1-800-832-0736 and then enter access code 4189148 #. Next, let's cover some information about webinar accessibility. On the Adobe Connect platform, you will notice different boxes on your screen. These boxes are called pods. We have the presentation pod where the slides will appear. This is the largest portion of your screen. Below that is an open space. This is for the placement of the closed captioning pod. We'll talk about that in a moment. In the top right corner is the Q&A pod for your questions and answers. And below that is the web links pod. We have two items populated in there. Let's talk about a few more details about these pods. If you need assistance navigating Adobe Connect, an accessibility user guide complete with a list of controls will be added to the web links pod. It's also available at http://bit.ly/Adobe-accessibility. And as I said, this link will also be available shortly in the web links pod in the bottom right of your screen. It will be entitled Adobe Accessibility User Guide. Real-time captioning is available today and is displayed in the captioning pod, which appears below the slides. In order to access this, you can select the CC option for closed captioning, and this will open up a box that our real-time captioner is typing in now. You can select the text size and text color combinations to best meet your vision preferences. The captioning link will also be available in the web links pod under the title Web Captioning. Next, if you're fluent in American Sign Language and would like to support today's webinar, follow the link below that provides instructions on how to connect with an interpreter through the Federal Communications Video Relay Service, or VRS. The ASL User Guide, which will appear in the web links pod, is under the title of ASL User Guide. We are here today to answer questions that you may have about the Ticket to Work program. So please send us your questions anytime through the webinar by typing them into the Q&A pod. We will then direct it questions during our speaker to our speaker during the webinar. We will have three Q&A portions today. So please send us the questions and we'll do our best to get to as many of those questions as possible. Now, if you're listening by phone and not logged into the webinar platform, we may ask questions. You may ask us questions by sending an email to us. That email address is webinars@choosework.ssa.gov. Another resource available that I've mentioned a few times is the Web Links pod. Now, we put resources in the pod, and that allows you to go a little bit deeper into the content of the session. To access these resources, please highlight the topic you're interested in and then select the Browse To button at the bottom of the pod. If you're listening by phone and not logged into the webinar platform, you may email us at webinars@choosework.ssa.gov for a list of these available resources, or you may reference your confirmation email for the webinar to access those available resources. Also, please note that Social Security cannot guarantee and is not responsible for the accessibility of external websites. Today's webinar is being recorded, and a copy of it will be available within 2 weeks on the Choose Work website. That is http://bit.ly/wise_on-demand. This link, as well as others, can be found in the Web Links pod in the bottom right corner of your screen. It will be entitled Wise Webinar Archives. We hope that everyone has a great experience today. However, if you experience any technical difficulties, please use the Q&A pod to send us a message or email us again at that same address, webinars@choosework.ssa.gov. As I mentioned at the start, my name is Derek Shields, and I will serve as your moderator today. We are also delighted to have Ray Cibula with us as our presenter. Ray received his law degree from the University of New Hampshire's Franklin Pierce School of Law and spent 23 years providing legal services to individuals with disabilities in their interactions with Social Security. He then became part of Cornell University's Work Incentives Support Center, and in 2005 joined the staff of Cornell's Yang Tan Institute on Employment and Disability. Ray now serves as the program director of YTI Online, Cornell's Work Incentives Practitioner Credentialing Program. During today's webinar, Ray will discuss answers to four of our most frequently asked questions. What is Ticket to Work? Will I lose my disability benefits if I start working? Will I lose my Medicare or Medicaid if I start working? And the fourth question, who can help me on my path to employment? And now it is my pleasure to welcome Ray for him to begin with an overview of the Social Security benefits programs and an introduction to the Ticket to Work program. Over to you, Ray.
Thank you so much, Derek. We do have to start today by discussing the two different programs that Social Security administers. It's always a great thing to make sure you know what benefit you're receiving, because while there are work incentives out there and programs to help you get to work for both of these programs, they all work a little bit differently. So again, that's a real good start. If you're not sure whether you receive Social Security Disability Insurance or SSDI or Supplemental Security Income, SSI, make sure. And we'll give you some hints along the way to find out, to let you know how you can find out which is which. Now, the SSDI program is an insurance program. Yeah, it is just what it says, disability insurance. When you're working and paying FICA taxes, you are paying into this system, and your benefit will be based upon how long you've worked and how much you've paid into the system. Basically, everybody's benefit is going to be different. This program has no limits on resources, so that you can, you know, be Oprah Winfrey and collect your SSDI benefits if you've worked long enough to become insured for that program. Now, the SSI program is basically a federal welfare program. It is paid to people who have a very limited work experience that wouldn't qualify for SSDI, or people who have no work experience at all. This does pay a very basic level of income. This year, the living alone rate, if you're living alone and meeting your own needs, pays $841. It is also limited to folks who have less than $2,000, if you're an individual, or $3,000 for a married couple in countable resources. So just know that the work incentives are going to work differently because of the nature of those two programs. Now, as I said, both of these programs have the opportunity to use work incentives and have great programs to supplement those work incentives that will help you, guide you, and hopefully keep you on the workforce. But only you can decide if work is right for you. We are not here to make that decision for you, and your employment team will be discussing all of those members, will not make that decision. We will guide that decision, but we'll give you all the facts you need, and you can then make an informed choice based on what you know. Why choose work? We all hope everyone's going to try it. Earning a living through employment may not be something everybody can do. Some people, by the nature of their disabilities, are going to be limited to only being able to supplement those benefits. Other people are going to be able to return to work full time. And that decision might be the right one for you. Once people have an understanding of the many free services and supports that are available to them, they often realize that the rewards of work, being more active in your community, far outweigh the risks associated with your benefits and healthcare. So we have to talk about the Ticket to Work Act. The Ticket to Work program began in 2001. It was signed by President Clinton in 1999, in December of that year. And it takes some time to get these things up and running. But it is a fabulous program. I believe that when it passed, I still believe that 20 years later. What is it? The Ticket to Work Act, as I said, is a very big piece of legislation. We're going to focus on the Ticket to Work program, the program that's designed to help you return or enter the workforce. Now, it's free and it's completely voluntary. That's important for you to know. If you get information about the Ticket to Work, and that's good information that you're going to receive, and you're going to decide whether or not you want to use that ticket, you can decide not to. The Ticket to Work program is going to bring you some good benefits and assistance, but you don't have to do that to return to work. The ticket provides you with an opportunity to get career development if you are someone who is aged 18 through 64, and you receive one of those benefits, SSDI or SSI, and want to work. That's all that's required of you. And again, you then make the decision that you want to return to work and participate in the ticket program. The ticket program connects you with free employment services. You can build your own employment team, and they can help you decide if work's right for you. If you're not sure what your capacity is, if you're not sure what you want to do, we're here to listen to you and give you some ideas. And hopefully you will make that decision to continue on this journey. It will help you prepare for work, any type of preparation for work. I've been working as a pandemic employee for the last few years. In fact, I've been working at home for 22 years. You know, if I were to get a job in an office, I've got some shopping I need to do because I'm normally not dressed with a tie and appropriately dressed in a business for a business setting. How about finding a job? You know, everybody needs a resume, you know, and resumes don't look like they did the last time I got a job. So I would need help getting a resume. I might need some help from some expert in Santa Fe here who can point me to jobs in my area if I'm not willing to move. Yeah, and this last one I think is really, really important. We want you to succeed at work. Just because we prepared you for work and we found a job for you doesn't mean we're done. You know, we're not done until you are successfully working on an ongoing basis and you decide you're all set now. You can handle it. You want us to go back. But remember, we'll always be there for a question or two if you need us. The Ticket to Work Helpline. Social Security's Ticket to Work program offers a helpline to support you on your journey to financial independence. They can give you some basic information about the ticket, and they can get you in contact with some of the players, some of your potential support team members in your area. And you can call that Ticket to Work helpline Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So it's open across the country during business hours. And that number is 1-866-968-7842. And for TTY users, 866-8 332967. Okay, now we're going to play with one of the biggest urban myths out there. Will I lose my benefits if I start working? Now, I'm sure you have all heard street rumors that say, yeah, if you go back to work, you're going to lose everything. I am here to tell you that just isn't true. And I'm here to tell you that you really need to be invested in your program and seeking financial independence before anything's going to happen to your cash. And it's going to be a long time before you are at risk of being without health care. We're going to talk about all of those things in more detail, but this just is not true. So Social Security, how come it's not true? Social Security has safety nets. You know, and you will be told if you're working with your team, every safety net that follows the stage of work that you're in right now. Yeah, these safety nets stop all of those bad things that you're thinking about from happening. And there are a bunch of them. Let's just put it that way. The work incentives are basic rules that help beneficiaries enter, re-enter, or continue potentially increasing employment by protecting their eligibility for cash payments and health care until you are able to take that last step and become financially independent of benefits. And you should know that with proper planning, you're always going to have more than you would have had on benefits. Yeah, so whether you're looking for a job for the first time or returning to work after an injury or an illness, work incentives can help you through that transition to work and towards financial independence. And there are lots of those too. You know, work incentives can do just about everything, you know, including let you work at your own pace to achieve financial independence so that you're comfortable the entire way through. So let's talk about one of those, the trial work period, or TWP. It's one of 36, 37 different work incentives that Social Security has. And this one's available only to SSDI recipients. So if you're receiving SSDI, the trial work period allows you to test your ability to work for 9 months. And during your TWP, you'll receive a full cash SSDI payment, regardless of how much you earn. You're making this one of the real easy work incentives because nothing else applies, just the ticket to work. Yeah. As long as you report your work activity and continue to meet Social Security's rules for disability. You know that you have to report your work activity. That's the only way Social Security is going to be aware that you've begun to use your trial work period. And you should be reporting that every month by the 10th of the month after the month that you worked in. Yeah. And yet, this meeting the Social Security disability rules just means you're still participating in the program. So the trial work period continues until you accumulate 9 trial work months within a 60-month rolling period. That's a little bit hard to think about. No, the months don't need to be consecutive. They don't need to be one after another. But you have to be able to find them all within a 5-year period. Yeah. Social Security uses a certain amount every year to determine whether or not you have earnings that use a trial work period. Now, in 2022, if you earn $970, you've used a month. So you could earn $1,000 9 months in a row, you could earn $5,000 every month for 9 months in a row. You'll still receive your benefits and keep your earnings. Now, notice the second bullet does go on and say that if you are self-employed, you can be seen as using a trial work month if you have worked for 80 hours at your self-employment job. That would be determined to be a service month and would use the trial work period month. That's just because when you do start a business, you may have a lot of work to do, but you may not be necessarily making a whole lot of money. It takes time. So we're going to judge that differently than we would just by looking at a dollar amount. So how can you get more information? Take a look at that trial, that TWP fact sheet, and learn more about the trial work period as well as the other work incentives in place for when you complete that TWP, that extended period of eligibility or EPE. And what happens when the trial work period's over? The game changes a bit. So we need to explain to you when you're getting close to the end of your TWP how that EPE, the extended period of eligibility, works. So you can find that link in your web links pod. And it looks like we're at the first question session.
This is Derek. Thanks, Ray. We've gotten through some important content, the overview of the two programs and little bit in ticket to work, and then to the trial work period too. What we have coming in right now, we have a bunch of questions. So I want to start out with a couple of more about the ticket program itself, and then we have some other ones about the trial work period. So first, I know you hear these, but they're important to make sure folks know. The first one, Ray, is Do people need to pay to participate in the ticket program?
Absolutely not, Derek. As I said earlier, that ticket program is available to you on a voluntary basis and at no charge.
Excellent. And before I jump to the next one, I just want to remind people that There are a lot of questions coming in. We appreciate them, but we are unable to answer specific questions about your specific situations. But we're going to give you the helpline information a little bit later where you can bring your specific questions to. So today we can cover more the general questions about the program itself and some of the details about the healthcare too. So the next question, Ray, is this: I don't have work experience, so how do I get started with the ticket program?
Well, it sounds like you've got a blank page, and we're happy to draw a happy picture on that blank page. If you have no work experience, you can meet with some of these team members that we're going to talk about, the employment networks, state VR, a benefits planner. You know, you can choose anyone. You might want to talk to a benefits planner about what will happen to your benefits if you go to work. And that will necessarily bring up, well, what do you think you want to do? How much would you like to earn? You know, that's a general discussion to have with a benefits planner. An employment network can help put some more meat on that employment bone that you began talking about with the benefits planner. The employment network knows the jobs in your area, knows the jobs in your area, knows who's hiring part-time, who's hiring full-time, and knows what the general wages are in your area. So just by talking to people and sticking your toe in that water, you're going to get a lot more information than you think that will help you make that decision as to whether you want to participate in the program.
This is Derek. Thanks for that, Ray. And I know you're going to cover a little bit more details about the employment team later in the presentation. Our next question is about eligibility. Person's wondering if they're eligible. Ray, clarify for us once again, who's eligible for the ticket program?
Okay, the first eligibility criteria is that you have a cash benefit from Social Security, either SSI or SSDI. The second criteria is that you are 18 years old and considered a disabled adult up to your 65th birthday. Just have to fall in that big window. And the last qualification is, do you want to work? If you want to work, come on down.
Thanks, Ray. This is Derek. Okay, the next question has come in, and it's about this myth that you're talking about, the loss of benefits. The question is a bit of a statement, then a question. I've heard that I'll lose my benefits right away if I go to work. I'm really afraid that I can't work full-time. Can the ticket program actually help me?
Absolutely. It can absolutely help you. Now, you've heard that you'll lose your benefits right away if you go back to work. That's just wrong. You know, just toss that out the window and know that there are work incentives and other protections that will help you gradually move from benefits to work. You know, you're afraid you can't work full-time? Well, part of using the ticket to work or part of a regular just no-ticket return to work is to try to test your ability. Remember, we talked about that trial work period. That's a great time to work as much as you possibly can to determine whether or not you can work full-time or part-time. During that nine-month period, if you're not able to work full-time, you may learn exactly what your tolerance is, and that might be 25 hours a week. You know, it may be 20. Whatever we determine and you determine is your maximum capacity work is what we would then move forward with. You know, so the ticket to work program is truly cut out for you and would help you a great deal.
This is Derek. Thank you, Ray. That's really helpful, reemphasizing that this is a myth and that part-time employment is a possibility as well. Our next question goes back. This is one we hear a lot, do we need to have a copy of a paper ticket to participate in the Ticket to Work program?
Nope, absolutely not. And yeah, during my career working with recipients, I would never tell you to throw away anything. However, I can say if you don't want that ticket, throw it away. You know, you will have access to the helpline. They can tell you at any point in time whether you have a ticket that's available to use. And just because you tossed it in the trash doesn't mean you can't use one. You've still got it. You don't need it to begin participating, but you might want to call the Ticket to Work helpline and see if there is one available for you to make sure before you make that first call.
This is Derek. Thank you, Ray. And again, we'll bring up that helpline number for you a couple more times to ensure that everyone has access to that to check on their ticket eligibility status. And now let's turn to the trial work period. We have a question. You said, Ray, that the trial work period lasts at least 9 months. There's a little bit of, from a few folks out there, a little bit of a need for more explanation. Can you explain what you mean? Is it 9 months in a row, or can I use that 9 months a little differently? Can you go into more detail there for us?
I'm going to try without taking up the rest of the session. The trial work period is very, very, very important. And it is 9 months long. That doesn't mean you can't have more than 9 months in your trial work period. Remember, I said it's 9 months that happen within a 5-year period. So let's say I have 8 months that I've used back in 2017. I didn't finish my trial work period, and now it's 2022, and I'm going to go to work again. If I work in October of 2022 and earn $970 and a penny, I've used another trial work month. That's number 9, but look backwards. The other 8 are more than 5 years ago. So right now, I have had a 9th trial work month, but only one counts. The others lost their shelf life and they fell off. You know, just like a can of beans. You know, the shelf life is 5 years. At the end of 5 years, if you haven't opened it, you throw it away. Yeah, so you could have many more months. Just remember, you have to capture 9 months in 5 years. Now, that being said, do you really think you've done a good job of testing your ability to work if you scatter months across 5 years? I don't think so. Yeah, so I think the best thing for you to do is plan to use this period. When you are going to say, okay, I think I can work 20 hours a week, maybe 30. So let's go for it during those 9 months. Yeah, and we can determine where between 20 and 30 is your maximum capacity. Use them wisely.
Ray, thank you for that. That was really helpful getting back to the very label trial work period. Mm-hmm. And the notion of let's see what work can be done, but to also use that time frame wisely. There's a follow-on that we've received about reporting that work activity. Yeah. You mentioned I have to report my work activity. How would I do that? And does someone help me so I can make sure I do it correctly?
Well, yeah, you know, lots of people on your employment team can help you do this. You know, the benefits planners sometimes do it. The employment networks may help you do that. You know, our goal is to make you financially independent and otherwise independent. So we would be teaching you how to make those reports. You know, you can do them on a computer through a My Social Security account. And if you don't have a My Social Security account, you may want to go on to socialsecurity.gov and set one up. Yeah, I have one, and It's a great thing. I know right now, if I go into my Social Security account, I can find out what will happen today if I become disabled. What will happen today if I retire? How much money will be involved? What will my payments be? Who in my family will be able to collect benefits from my account? You can do this on a phone app. Both the SSDI program and the SSI program have apps in the App Store, and they're free. You can download them and use those. And there is a 1-800 number for reporting wages. You can call them in. And as I said, this week's the 30th, right? This Friday is the 30th, so I will get my last paycheck on Friday, and I have 10 days till the 10th of October to report that. So you got to keep your wage stubs, and basically read them into the phone or log them into your My Social Security account, and you'll be able to get those reported. Now that the Social Security offices are open, if you feel better about reporting your income in person, by all means, you can do that as well.
This is Derek Ray. Thanks a lot for the guidance there and talking about the trial work period, kind of at another level, a deeper description. We do appreciate your questions. Again, a reminder that we aren't able to answer your specific personal questions, but if you have the generic questions, please submit those, and we'll have two more breaks for questions and bring Ray back up to answer those. And we appreciate the advice. I think right now what we want to do, though, is move forward, and we're going to switch to our next frequently asked question, and that is, will I lose my Medicare or Medicaid if I start working? So for that, we're going to send it back to Ray.
Okay. Thank you, Derek, and thanks for your questions. I have to tell you about one more resource that you can use, and it's called the Red Book. It contains information about all of these work incentives. It is available online in English and Spanish, so you may want to go to socialsecurity.gov and in the search engine type in Red Book. I usually do it as one word, and that will come up, and you can download it, you can print it out, and you can find all of the work incentives that are in there, and they'll give you a very succinct definition. So let's talk about healthcare. In my experience, more people have greater concerns about losing their healthcare than they do their cash benefits. Because we can easily show you, and I hope a benefits planner does that for you and shows you exactly where you are now. My SSI benefit is $841 a month. If you work 20 hours a week earning $15 an hour, your SSI will go down a little. But your benefits planner will then show you that your financial outcome for that month is going to more than double. There is always more money. And whoever is working on your team should be able to make sure that's happening, or that is at least the goal of your plans. But healthcare, it's very close to a point where I can tell you, look, you got to work long and hard to lose your healthcare nowadays. And the worst that's going to happen is that you might be paying a premium for it, when your income becomes that high. There's almost no worry at all. But let's talk about it, because I know people do care. Will I lose my Medicaid or Medicare when I start working? Again, Medicaid and Medicare are two very, very different programs. Medicaid is a needs-based welfare health plan that comes automatically with SSI in a bunch of states, and in a couple of other states, I think there are 11 of them left that require you to file separately. But if you're eligible for SSI, you'll likely be eligible for Medicaid. Medicare comes with Social Security disability benefits. And so there are two different programs that function completely differently. So if your benefits payments stop because of earnings, because of wages, in a majority of the cases, people are able to keep Medicare and Medicaid by using work incentives. First of all of those work incentives are going to help save your eligibility for health care. And then buy-in programs. You know, there are 6 states that do not have buy-in programs. You know, the others and the District of Columbia have these wonderful, wonderful programs that we'll talk about in a while. And you can also use a buy-in type program for Medicare as well. And I'm not talking about, you know, somebody who's got a benefit of $1,500 in SSDI paying a medical premium. I'm talking about somebody who has returned to work and is making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. You might be paying a premium at that point. So the work incentives that help you keep your health care, for Medicaid, we have Medicaid While Working, the 1619B program, and we have those Medicaid buy-in programs. Again, 44 states and the District of Columbia have those programs. I frankly can't tell you why the other 6 states do not have a buy-in program, because they're wonderful programs. And for Medicare, we have the extended period of Medicare coverage. And when I tell you the rule for that, you'll begin to understand why I tell people, go to work, focus on work, worry about it later. And then there's the Medicare for people with disabilities who are working. That, again, once your income gets up there, allows you to pay premiums for Medicare. You know, I think you got to remember, you know, for those of you who have worked in the past, you remember employer health care. It's not free. You know, it was 40 years ago when I started in this business, but it's not free anymore. So you're paying a premium for health care if you're working generally. Now you're going to be doing the same thing with your publicly funded health care systems. So if you receive SSI, you know, you will continue to receive Medicaid coverage. When your cash benefit stops due to earnings, if you've been eligible for SSI cash for at least 1 month, 1 month, that's all. If you continue to meet Social Security's definition of disability, you have to be disabled to be participating in one of these disability programs. You know, according to Social Security guidelines, you still meet the other non-disability SSI work requirements. Remember when we started, I said SSI has a limitation on resources. So not only do you need to be careful about your income, and the planner is going to help you with that, but you now are working and still need to watch your. There are some other tools we can use if you want to, if you're in a position to save more money. Yeah. How about if you need Medicaid services to continue to work? Yeah. Clearly, you know, the Ticket to Work Act, that act that President Clinton signed in 1999, was the first time our government recognized that people need health insurance to work. You're going to need Medicaid benefits to work. You know, if you can replace those benefits with private insurance, that's okay too. Then you might not need Medicaid. But Medicaid's pretty extensive. So, yes, you need Medicaid in order to work. And you have gross earnings below your state's threshold. And here's a website here for you that you can find in the link. For 1619B, it will give you the maximum amount that you can earn. Now, I'm believing right now that Texas is about $45,000 a year. Connecticut is about $63,000. So you're looking at states ranging from $30,000 up to $60,000. And in Connecticut, it's a very good state for this. In Connecticut, you could be making $60,000 and still have Medicaid at no charge. Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. So going to work and losing your health care is far from definite. Far from definite. And check out that link again if you want to check to see what your state's threshold is. Now, if you are working and you go above that threshold, there's still another option for you. Yeah, and those are the state buy-in programs. I said again, 44 states and the District of Columbia. You know, if you want to Google Medicaid buy-in program, you know, and your state, you will find out if your state has one. Yeah, so what these states do is allow you to purchase Medicaid because you need it to work. Think about that person in Connecticut. They're making $65,000. And they have lost protected Medicaid under 1619B. They now have the ability to go to the state of Connecticut and ask to participate in the buy-in program. There will be a different earnings limitation. You know, some states don't have an earnings limitation. They just will then at some point be charging you the market rate for Medicaid. But we're talking a lot of money. You know, when I left Massachusetts, their premium amounts were charted out to $100,000 a year. $100,000 a year. So if you're making $90,000 in Massachusetts, you would be paying a premium based on your income to continue with Medicaid, earning $90,000. Dollars a year. You still have to be disabled. You know, you are otherwise eligible for SSI, but for your earnings. Yeah, and it gets serious when you're earning that kind of money, because you might want to save some of it. And we have other resources. We can protected resources that we can help, that we can bring to bear to let you save some extra money. Now, you got to know that each program is different. So if you've seen one Medicaid buy-in program, you've seen one. Some allow you to have significant savings. You know, and if particularly if you're saving your earned income, you may have no limitation. California allows you to save whatever you want of your own earnings, and it won't count. Yeah, that's a very good thing. You know, under certain circumstances, people who receive SSDI benefits may be eligible for these programs. You know, as I said, Medicare is not as comprehensive as Medicaid, so maybe that SSDI person can apply for the Medicaid buy-in and fill that healthcare gap. Why not? You know, so these things can be available to everybody who's looking to return to work. And check with your local Medicaid agency to find out what's available in your state. You know, you can always Google Medicaid in your state. A lot of information is going to come flying at you. And it may be difficult to understand without having that phone call, but you might want to Google Medicaid in your state to get your state office help person, you know, a Medicaid ombudsman, you know, to find out who you can talk to, you know, with no obligations, but who you can talk to about how these programs work, you know, and benefits planners in your particular state should be able to discuss this with you as well. Now, let's move to the other side of the coin, the Medicare program. here's what I told you about, you know, you would hopefully see the light when I said, don't worry about your health care benefits. You know, most SSDI beneficiaries whose benefit payments stop due to work will receive at least 93 consecutive months of Medicare after their trial work period ends. So if you take 93 months and you add the 9 trial work months to it, it's 102 months. That's a long time. And so again, go to work. Focus on returning to work. People will let you know what's happening every step of the way. And maybe in 5 years, we can begin having a discussion what will happen or what may happen to your Medicare 2.5 years down the road. You know, you're pretty secure with health care. And Medicare comes in different parts, right? Part A is hospital insurance. If you're in the hospital, Medicare is going to pick up some of that bill, the majority of that bill. You know, that's a wonderful thing. Hospital insurance, this Part A of Medicare does not have a premium because we pay for it. You know, every paycheck I have has Medicare tax taken out. I'm paying for my future use of Part A. You know, I have Part A now. I don't pay a premium. I am still paying through my taxes for it. Then what about Part B? That's doctor's insurance. So if you want to go for a sick visit to a doctor, if you want to go to a wellness visit for your doctor, for your annual physical, that's what Part B pays for. There is a premium for that. This year, if you enroll for the first time, it's $170.10 a month. Yeah. If you're receiving a cash benefit, you likely will not have to pay that because Social Security withholds that $170 to pay that Medicare premium. If you are working and you're progressing along and do not get a cash payment, that $170 will be billed to you. But remember, your benefits planner is going to make that all work. You know, your employment network might have a benefits planner on staff who will make sure there's enough money for you to do that, and still you'll have more than you had. Part D is the prescription drug program. You know, you can enroll in that, and you know, I think the average premium is between $35 and $40. You know, if you want a Cadillac, you're going to pay for a Cadillac. If you want a Volkswagen, it's a little cheaper. But these programs will meet your medical needs. They're pretty customized for each person, and they will be available in your local area. Again, if there's nothing being paid to you in a cash benefit, you will be responsible for that as well. All right. The extended period of Medicare coverage. How do you get it? To qualify, you must already have Medicare. And you now need to be working at the substantial gainful activity level. And for SSDI, that level this year is $1,350.01 a month. Yeah. Your benefit will stop. Now, many of you might be thinking, well, I get $1,800 in benefits. So why would I want it to stop if I earn $1,350? Well, we need to take that into consideration when we're planning your trajectory towards the workforce and make sure it makes sense for you financially. You know, the amount of monthly earnings are considered substantial gainful activity based on the nature of a person's disability. There are two different standards. That $1,350 a month is a figure that's applied to people who are disabled. When we're looking at people who are blind, according to Social Security, it's somewhere slightly above $2,100 a month. Yeah, and that's countable income. Social Security doesn't count everything. Yeah, so there are ways to deduct money so that somebody who is making $1,500 gross in a month could be seen as only making $13 if we had a couple of hundred dollars in deductions. And you must still be disabled. If you received a note that said you've medically improved, you can't play this game anymore. All right, so I got to speed up a little bit. I can talk about this stuff forever and I get dangerous. So how about Medicare for people with disabilities who are working? If you have gone beyond that 93 months and you still are disabled, if you're under age 65 and your Medicare stopped because of earnings, you can buy it. And that's going to depend upon how many work credits you have earned, or you might be able to borrow some from a spouse. So the premium is going to differ a little bit. But if you're earning a significant amount of money, those premiums are still much cheaper than most private plans. So let's get some more information on that. And for these enrollment periods, you can make an appointment to enroll by calling Social Security offices at 1-800-772-1213, or for TTY users, 1-800-325-0778, and that will get you in touch with your local office for help paying the premiums. Maybe you just made the cut, right, and you don't really have enough money to pay all of these premiums. You can talk to them about what's called a Medicare savings program, and you're going to want to talk to Medicare directly at 1-800-MEDICARE or 1-877-486-2048 for TTY users. Please have your Medicare number handy. It's right on your card, and you'll be able to talk to somebody from your state about that program. It's going to be pretty, we're pretty far out in your work effort. We still haven't lost benefits yet for health care. So let's give it a shot. All right, Derek, we're at questions again.
Thanks, Ray. This is Derek. First, I just wanted to circle back and clarify something that we talked about earlier. During submission of work hours, Ray talked about different ways that that could be done. And we just really want to emphasize that there's two preferred ways. The electronic or phone reporting methods are strongly preferred as opposed to taking or sending them to one of the field offices. Beneficiaries are able to take them or send them in as a last resort, but really preferred to have them electronically or called in. So we just wanted to cover that. And before we bring in the new questions, there's been a lot of questions around the trial work period, and we really wanted to point out, if you want to dive into that more deeply, in the web links pod in the bottom right corner, item number 8, there's a fact sheet, the trial work period fact sheet. We encourage you to select that and access that to explore it a little bit further. Ray, now to questions about the content you just went through around losing health care. We have a couple. We want to stay on track on time, so let's dig in. First question is, I'm nervous about losing my health care. If I get this job, is there someone that I can talk to help me really understand all of this information, because it's confusing?
It is confusing, I'll give you that much. Just believe me when I tell you there's good news coming for you. And I would start with a benefits planner. Those benefits planners are going to talk to you about your income, what benefit you're on, and what health care you're on. And you'll be able to discuss that transition that I just went through for a much longer period of time, so that you will understand that.
This is Derek. Excellent. So we'll dig in to who can help and those how to reach a benefits counselor in the next section. So now let's move to the next question. I have SSI, and I heard you say I could keep my Medicaid coverage when my payment stops due to worker earnings, but only in some states. Where can I find that information if my state participates in Medicaid while working? And, you know, I heard you mention Google, but what should I do if my state doesn't participate as well?
Okay. Yeah. You know, there are still those six outlying states who do not participate in a buy-in program. They just don't have one. And frankly, there's not much you can do other than relocate to a state that does have one. You know, there's not going to be any protection for you if you're in one of those six states, other than the basic work incentives. That does not mean we couldn't put a work plan together for you that will allow you to continue with health care. And Medicaid is one that you can actually do that with pretty easily. You're going to have to talk to a benefits planner. Again, contacting them and finding out if there's a buy-in is a potential. You know, I did mention Google. I just Googled one from Montana yesterday, and I put Medicaid buy-in, Montana, and it was one of the first hits that came up and let me know that Montana does have one of these programs. So, you know, Google is your friend. It's a great resource. There is a federal Medicaid website that I frankly find overwhelming. There's a ton of information there that would give you that information. You know, and if you were just to Google Medicaid buy-in states, you'd find several articles that would list the states that have them.
This is Derek. Great. Thanks, Ray. Right, 44 states plus D.C., so a lot of folks listening are going to have a program that does apply to them. That's really helpful to know. And another note here, you know, we understand and there are questions around this is a lot of content and can be confusing, and folks are looking to learn more. We'll just add that next month, on October 26th, that session, our Work Incentive Seminar, WISE webinar, we'll focus on Medicaid and Medicare, and we do hope you'll join us. Registration is available, and you can register at choosework.ssa.gov/WISE. And Ray will go over the employment team in this next segment. Speaking of the next segment, Ray, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Derek. All right. Who can give me help to achieve my work goals? Yeah, we've got lots of people involved in this, and you're going to pick and choose the people that you believe you need. You can take us all, bring us to your support, or you can just take one or two of us. It's all up to you. So, who can help me understand how work will affect your benefits? This is critical, people. This is really, really critical. It's much better for you to talk with a benefits counselor and know what's going to happen and when that's going to happen, as opposed to just waiting for something to happen. Yeah, it's truly a more powerful position for you to be in. So both SSI and SSDI have rules that allow you to try working without worrying about losing your benefits right away. Yeah, and connecting with a benefits counselor or a benefits planner, yeah, is the way to start. I believe that's the first thing you should do. If you're already involved with an employment network and haven't had benefits counseling, use these connections and get some done. I believe it's critical for every Social Security recipient who's returning to work. So what is benefits counseling? Here it is. It's a free service that came about as a result of the Ticket to Work program. And there are service providers out there who will sit down with you and explain how earnings from work will affect your federal and your state benefits. That's a lot of stuff. You know, we're going to look at benefits like health care, Medicare, Medicaid. How does that all fit in when you've worked long enough and now your employer is going to give you an employer pay plan? You know, you need to know how that's going to work. Social Security disability insurance. You know, how much do you receive? And are you going to be working at SGA levels? Or are you going to keep below SGA levels? You know, our goal is financial independence, so we're going to encourage you to work as much as you possibly can. But you'll go through all of the work incentives, even that trial work period, in more detail and as it's specific to you. And that's what's going to help you. And then you'll go through that extended period of eligibility. You'll talk about impairment-related work expenses. There are lots of things that that benefits plan is going to talk to you about. And they're going to give you documents. If you are going to remain on benefits, this is what your financial situation is. Y'all know that already. If you work and you're going to work 20 hours a week, this is what it's going to look like. If you're going to work full time, this is what it's going to look like to help you make a choice. SSI, the same thing. How much are you receiving now? What are all of the work incentives? And again, they're different than they are for the SSDI program. How about housing subsidies? If you're in a Section 8 unit or you have other housing subsidies, how are they going to be affected by work? You need to know that. What about your SNAP benefits or your food stamps? You know, they're going to be impacted by work, but is your plan sufficient to replace all of those benefits? Yeah, and that's the benefits planner's goal, is to have you working with more than enough money to replace all of your benefits. So how do you find a benefits counselor? There are three types of providers who can offer you with these services. The WIPA programs, the Work Incentive Planning and Assistance Projects, the state vocational rehab agencies. You know, many of the rehab agencies have planners in-house. Lots of vocational rehabilitation counselors are now learning enough to give you some general information and refer you to a benefits planner. And the employment networks, another member of your team. Every time you see a green circle or a triangle with colors on it, those are potential members of your employment team. And lots of those employment networks have benefits planners as well. So you can get these people on your side almost anywhere. Yeah, and you need to know that they're all very well trained and very well supported. So you're going to have a quality plan to return to work. Now, benefits counseling and the path to employment. You know, here I am again. I'm going to tell you that you should start with benefits planning. You know, so you're going to look at the fact sheet, benefits counseling, and those are the one-stop centers or the American.
Ray,
yeah.
Ray, pardon me. This is Derek. We lost you for about 15 seconds there. Can you just dial it back and begin this slide anew?
Sure, I can.
You're coming through great now. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you, Derek. So who else can help you? These are the other potential members of your team. Yeah. If you need an employment network, you can get one, again, to help provide you with services at no charge. You know, they're great local resources. Some of them are national in scope, but there are lots of them that are, you know, little tiny places who will sit down and talk to you about job potentials in your area, who's hiring, and who's hiring part-time. You know, the workforce ENs, the one-stop centers, Derek, help me, the American Job Centers, I think they might be called.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. And they're going to be there again. All kinds of resources. You can go in, use a computer at no charge to build a resume. They'll give you some help with that. They'll give you the computers to let you search for jobs on your own. See what's out there. You know, and some of those people will have all of the other services that you need as well. Your state rehabilitation agency. Yeah, they're out there. They're becoming very big players in all of this stuff. You know, many of the counselors are becoming educated, so that they'll be able to give you some general information about what will happen to your benefits if you return to work and a referral to a plan. So don't underestimate your state agencies. The WIPA programs, those are the benefits planners. Yeah, and the last organization here, the Protection and Advocacy Agencies for Beneficiaries of Social Security, call them PABs. You know, what happens if you go for a job interview and somebody directly asks you about your disability? You're not supposed to do that. Not supposed to do that. Yeah. And then they say, no, you can't have the job. The PABS agency is the legal wing. Yeah, and they're going to help you with disputes about hiring, about firing, about asking for accommodations on the workplace. All of these people can do different things for you. Yeah. The employment networks, yeah, are great places. Free employment services. Let's talk about what you might want to do. Let's talk about if work is a good choice for you. You know, let's do some interview practice. Let's develop that resume. And now is the time to take these 5 job listings and file applications. You know, that's pretty good. The job centers are the same type of employment network. Yeah, it's probably a lot less formal. American Job Centers are a great place to start because you can walk in and start searching, you know, what's available to me without any obligation whatsoever. So what's that EN going to do for you once again? What are your work goals? Well, you know, my work goal is to be the manager of Macy's Men's Clothing Department. Yeah, I know I might have to do different jobs before that, but my goal is to manage the department. Okay, that's a great goal. Now we have to write your resume. Yeah, we have to prepare you for those interviews. Are you going to need reasonable accommodations? And when is the right time to ask? And how about actually having that conversation with your new boss? Maybe you want to practice, you know, having that discussion. Maybe you want somebody else to help you with that discussion. And again, many of those benefits planners have benefits. I'm sorry, many of the employment networks have benefits planners on staff as well. That state VR agency is going to be, you know, required to help people who are on Social Security disability benefits, first of all, but they can also help you with vocational rehabilitation. Maybe the disability that you have requires some heavy duty rehabilitation. Well, that's what you're going to get. What about training and education? You know, your disability may have taken away some of your physical ability to do work, but maybe with some more education, you'd be able to do a more sedentary kind of work. Let's just talk to everybody who could possibly help you and figure out what services you need. And here we are. If you're ready to find a service provider, visit the Find Help page. And I'm on this several times a week. You can search by zip code the types of services that you need, the disability type. You know, if you're blind, you do not want to go to an EN that focuses on helping people with mental impairments. Makes sense to me. Yeah. So make sure that you target the appropriate players here. How about languages? If Spanish is your first language and you're more comfortable working in Spanish, there are Spanish-speaking ENs out there. And the provider type. If you want to type, find an EN, narrow that search to ENs. If you're looking for a planner, narrow that to the WIPA programs. Or you can call the Ticket to Work helpline for a list of providers at 1-866-968-7842 or 1-866-833-2967 for TTY users. Again, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And there I go, Derek.
This is Derek. Thank you, Ray. You got through the employment team content. We appreciate that. A couple times Ray's brought up the importance of benefits counseling and using these as key partners on your employment team. I just want to remind folks in the web links pod, we have link number 11, Benefits Counseling and the Path to Employment Fact Sheet. We encourage you to access that in the web links pod. All right. It's our last question set for this webinar. Ray, you've just brought up the state VR agencies. We've had a couple questions around this, and generally the questions are, can I work with a VR agency and an employment network?
Not at the same time, but in tandem, yes. If you were to go to a state VR agency for rehabilitation and education assistance, you can work with that VR agency. And then when they close your case after 90 days of substantial gainful activity work, you could take that ticket to work and assign it to an employment network. And the benefit of doing that is that, you know, 90 days, you know, I don't think makes a worker. But if you take that ticket after VR services to an employment network, that employment network can support you on the job for several months, a lot of months. And maybe then you're ready to say, stop already. I am a worker now. I can handle this myself. Yeah. I think that using the VR services and then assigning your ticket to an EN, Partnership Plus, is what the program is called, is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
This is Derek. Thanks, Ray. Next question. If I need some extra help once I get a job, like a coach or helping asking about the reasonable accommodations you brought up, can the employment network help me?
Yes, they can help you find, the employment network, as I said, they're all sizes. Some of them are national, some of them a tiny little, one-person shops. So the question is, if you need job coach services, can the employment network pay for those services? And that may not be the case, but the employment network can help you locate a job coach and locate other methods of paying for it. And it may be bringing the VR agency back. It may be seeking some job support services from Goodwill. There are lots of ways that can be done. And an employment network can most certainly help you do that.
This is Derek. Thanks, Ray. Next question. I live in a rural area. Will any of these service providers work with me?
They certainly should. Get on the website, that Find Help page, and you'll be able to determine where your closest EN is. Some of them cover the entire state, which means if you're in a rural part of the state, I'm in a rural state, and there are employment networks here that would help me if I needed it. So there should be, everybody in this country should have access to an employment network, at least one.
This is Derek. Great. So we have access in rural areas. We have regional coverage, and there are some national serving options. So everyone has an option who wants to connect with an EN. Ray, looks like we're at our last question. Somebody passes along their thanks. Thank you for all this information today, Ray. It is a lot to take in, but I'm excited to try to find a job. What do I do next?
What do you do next is start. You know, it's time to stick your finger in the mix. And that, you know, there's really no wrong door here. You know, you can contact an EN. I think it's, you know, this, and this is my own bias, I think starting with a benefits planner is a great way, you know, because they're going to talk to you without any obligation again about what might happen if you go to work and what your financial outcome would be. But you can contact the state VR agency. You know, you can contact the workforce, the American Job Centers. You know, that's a really good place to start because you're going to get some services by computer access and their job banks. And again, no obligation yet. You know, I mean, your obligation, I think the obligations that you're going to feel are going to come from yourself once you're really engaged with employment networks and services are being provided and resumes are being prepared. You've bought into this, you know, so you're going to have this obligation on yourself to follow through. But again, contacting a planner, contacting an American Job Center is a great way to very, very safely start.
This is Derek Ray. It is our time to end the question period, and I'd like to thank you for providing us with all this valuable information about really the four most frequently asked questions and helping better position really everyone attending for what is needed to be known about working while receiving disability benefits. You've helped dispel some myths. You've given us some great advice. And right at the end, if you're ready to start, jump in with the right employment team member to get started. So thanks, Ray. We appreciate your time.
It's always a pleasure, Derek.
Okay, so now I'm going to provide some important ways to get connected with the program. Ray's, you know, mentioned this, but it's also time to make sure that everyone knows how to get started. As you've learned, the TICCET program has a variety of service providers that are part of your employment team and other resources to help you get started. First, you can contact the TICCET to Work helpline at 1-866-968-7842. Or you can contact the helpline through TTY at 1-866-833-2967. Those lines are available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also visit us online at the TICCET to Work website at any time at choosework.ssa.gov. Specifically, you can find more details regarding all the topics that we've covered in today's webinar that Ray's been reviewing, and you can find the Find an EN tool that was described earlier. This is a great option for starting as well. We also encourage you to find us on social media or subscribe to the blog or email updates by visiting choosework.ssa.gov/contact/index.html. That link is also available in the web links pod under TICCET to Work contact information. You can choose how to connect with us. That's up to you. The important part is to make that connection. Another way to get advice and encouragement and read stories about people who have achieved financial independence with help from the TICCET to Work program is by opting into receiving text messages. If you're interested in receiving text messages from the TICCET program, please text TICCET, T-I-C-K-E-T, to 474747. Standard messaging rates may apply. Again, to opt in to receive text messages, please text TICCET to 474747, and standard messaging rates may apply. It's also important to note, if you need to contact Social Security's TICCET to Work program managed by the Social Security Administration's Office of Employment Support, We ask that you do so electronically instead of by postal mail. Our email address is support@choosework.ssa.gov. Remember, please do not include personally identifiable information in your email. You may also contact the Ticket to Work helpline at 1-866-968-7842 or 1-866-833-2967 for TTY. Again, that's available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. As I mentioned earlier, we invite you to join us for our next WISE webinar, which will be held on Wednesday, October 26, 2022, from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The topic will be healthcare and the path to employment. We encourage you to register online at our website or to call 1-866-968-7842 or 1-866-833-2967 for TTY. We are also pleased to share information on the Affordable Connectivity Program, an effort to help more households get access to broadband. The Affordable Connectivity Program is a Federal Communications Commission benefit program that helps ensure that households can afford the broadband they need for work, school, healthcare, and more. The program provides eligible households with a discount on broadband service and connected devices, and also provides a discount of up to $30 per month toward the internet for eligible households and up to $75 per month for homes on qualifying tribal lands. To find out if you're eligible for the program and discover how to apply, please go to fcc.gov/ACP. And finally, your feedback is very important to us. It will help us in planning our future webinars. Please provide your feedback and tell us what you think by taking our survey. To take this survey, you can follow the link that will pop up after the webinar, or you can find the survey link in the WebLinks pod or by visiting the website at choosework.ssa.gov/surveys/WISE. Thank you for attending today to learn about the Ticket to Work program and support for your journey to employment. Please know there are supports and people ready to help, and we encourage you to reach out to begin your journey. This concludes today's webinar.